You know, I'm convinced that there are a lot of people who are tired of not winning at life. Just as our president has said, the people are tired of not winning as a nation in our trade deals overseas and in our keeping jobs here in America and fighting wars overseas. But really, everybody has seasons of life where, well, things don't seem to be the way they ought to be for us, or at least not the way we want them to be. And sometimes in our lives, that's a result of things beyond our control. But other times, it's of our own making. Ah, yeah, conditions, the painful result of our own bad decisions. A truth that can apply to any number of situations in our lives. It can apply to our health. It can apply to our finances. It can apply to our relationships with family members that, well, maybe we cut off communications with for long periods of time. Because let's face it, just a single misstep, just a prideful act, just a selfish choice, and we can find ourselves in sticky and uncomfortable situations in our lives, problems that are our own making. And that led me to a book of the Bible you don't normally hear a lot from, except for the stories of Samson's and Gideon, and that's the book of Judges. Judges. That describes that time, well, when the tribe started to fall apart, when the people wandered away from God after Joshua's death at the ripe old age of 110, before they completed their conquest of Canaan, the promised land. And the pattern that repeats itself throughout the book of Judges is one where the people start to wander away from worshiping God the way they should. They begin to start living like the pagans in the lands around them. And as a result, God gives them into the hands of their enemies, who oppress them. And then they finally get tired of it. They cry out to God, who's always there, he's always faithful, he keeps his covenant promises. And he responds by sending them a deliverer, someone to rescue them. Like Samson, who rescued the people from the Philistines. Yeah, a judge. And as long as that judge lives, the people enjoy a time of peace. But then when he dies, the cycle repeats itself. It repeats itself. And while the broad brushstrokes of the cycle we see certainly reflect the grace of God, throughout the book of Judges, there is definitely a downward progression of the distance people wander away from God. Things get worse and worse and worse. And not to get off track, but you do know that when God withholds his blessing because of people's disobedience, or to correct them because of their disobedience, it's not because God's some type of cosmic killjoy who doesn't want people to have any fun. Nor is it because God is actually judging and punishing people in this lifetime. Because Romans 2:5 tells us that God is storing up his wrath, his anger, his punishment for judgment day. Why? Because God is patient. He's gracefully giving people time to repent and change and come back to him in this lifetime. Until they step into eternity or until Jesus returns. Meaning the real purpose for why God withholds his blessings for people's disobedience is so that they'll begin to see that something's missing in their lives. There's an absence of God, so that they will be drawn back to him. And this is the situation in Judges chapter 4, where in the opening verses it says, the Israelites again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord turned them over to King Jabin, a Canaanite king whose commander, Sisera, who, according to verse 3, had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, and then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Did you catch that? 20 long years. before they finally reached their limit and cried out to God for help. Can you imagine? And to show how bad it was, in verse 1 it says Jabin, which was probably not the king's personal name, but according to scholars, was a title like Pharaoh or Tsar. Well, it says he came from Hazor. And if you're a student of scripture, you know that that's one of the cities that Joshua burned to the ground when he first invaded the promised land. So because the people didn't carry out God's command to completely chase the Canaanites out of the promised land, to completely destroy them, they had time to regrow their numbers, to rebuild their city, and to return and crush the Israelites. So the problem they suffered was of their own making. But the greater point is to see how 20 years was their limit. 20 years of what they suffered due to abandoning God. 20 years before they decided to finally get right and get help from God. And what that does is it begs the question as to what your limit is. As to how long you go in whatever situation your misstep, your bad choice may have caused you to fall into. Will it be 20 years? Will it be 20 months? Will it be 20 days? Will it be 20 minutes? It's your choice. If you're wallowing in the rut of a bad habit that you haven't done anything about, or if your relationship with God just isn't firing on all cylinders, if you want to start winning in life, you have to decide. You're the one that gets to choose when enough is enough. Like with the prophet Jonah. You know, he could have changed all the events of his life at any point in his story. If he'd stopped and decided that, well, rather than running away, I'm going to get right with God. Or when he was on the ship before they faced the storm. If he decided then, I'm going to get right with God. It's time. Or before he was tossed overboard and spent 3 days in the belly of a whale. Jonah could have decided enough was enough at any point in his relationship with God. And while several of the Old Testament spiritual giants, like Moses, David, Jeremiah, all cried out at one time or another, how long, oh God? How long must I suffer my situation? Steve May says, God asks us that same question when he looks down and he sees us in the distress of our own bad choices as to what we're doing to our health, as to what we're doing in our finances, as to what we might do in our relationships with others. And he asks us, how long? Before you come to me, how long will you resist? How long will you wait to get your heart back where it belongs with God? For haven't we all known people who finally able to defeat long-term enemies, such as being overweight, not having done anything about it, or being financially stressed because they have a gambling habit they haven't done anything about, or who suffered the plague of some other addiction, who, when you ask, well, how did you do it? They finally say, well, I finally got to the point of saying, enough is enough. You know, when the doctor told me, if you don't lose some weight, you're not going to live long enough to see your grandkids, I knew that was the limit. Enough was enough. Or I knew that I was going to lose my marriage. I was going to lose my kids if I didn't quit drinking. That was the limit. Enough was enough. Whatever the red flags were for the person's sad situation, that was when they say, enough was enough. Which is really the only good thing about hitting rock bottom, right? That you get to choose where it is. When you finally say, enough is enough. As your first step of winning in life. When you finally decide to do something about whatever your problem might be, And so that's the question this morning. Is that a challenge you face? Are you in one of life's ruts? Overwhelmed by how to deal with a nagging, aggravating situation in life? Like, well, it's finally time to control your weight. It's finally time to give up smoking. It's finally time to go and get right with that brother or sister you haven't spoken to for years. Well, if that's your situation, then decide is enough is enough. And in some cases, take the second step towards winning again in life. And that's to ask for help. Realize you need help. Go to God. Go to others that He uses to help you overcome whatever your situation is. Something seen in verses 4 through 6 through our story read earlier. Where to summarize it, I won't read the whole thing again because it's got difficult words and I don't want to go through it. But Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, sent for Barak. And she went and commanded him, gather yourself an army and go out and do something about this Canaanite commander who has been oppressing us for so long. But instead of just obeying her orders, verse 8 says, old Barak insisted he would only go to fight the enemy if she went with him. If she went with him. Now, there are a couple of interesting things about the entire account you need to realize. First of all, Deborah was actually a judge. Verse 5 says she helped settle disputes. You can't say that about all the judges in the book of Judges. Because biblically, a judge was God's deliverer. Someone He raised up to rescue His people from whatever their sad situation was, their oppression. Like earlier, I mentioned Samson, who rescued the people from the Philistines. And in part, this is why Peter, in Acts 10:42, called Jesus a judge. Because He rescues us from the hell we deserve when He went to the cross to take the punishment we deserve upon Himself. He's rescued us from that fate. And surprisingly, while verse 5 says, Deborah sat under the palm of Deborah, the Hebrew of verse 2 uses the same wording to say, Sisera, not the duck commander, but the Canaanite commander, sat at Harosheth Hagoyim. So in other words, the writer of this account, nobody got the duck commander? Come on. Anyway, the writer of this account, who most believe was Samuel the prophet, was equating Deborah with Sisera. Deborah was God's general in this case. Yet get this, since the name Lapidoth means torches or flashes, and Barak means lightning, some scholars think that Barak was actually the same man as her husband. So basically, Deborah was calling her husband to get off his duff and go do something about this enemy that was oppressing the people. But notice Barak, old lightning's response. He effectively says, I'll go, but if only you come with me. A sense of meaning, I'm not sure I can win this battle alone. That I can win it without you. And that would have been a remarkable request in the culture of the day. That a man, a general, a warrior, would ask a woman to help him in battle? Whew. Most people, never mind leaders, would have been too filled with pride to have asked a woman for something like that. They would have looked at it as a sign of weakness. Or they would have just said, I don't want her there. I want to be able to take all the credit for myself. I want all the glory. Meaning that when you find yourself with an overwhelming problem, that's what you have to quit caring about. You have to quit caring about who gets the glory. Sometimes that keeps us from experiencing the fullness of God's power. When we're too prideful to ask, when we're too prideful to accept help. The help of God, or the help of others he works through to help us overcome whatever it is we're stuck in. So while you may have first read this passage and thought, Barak, he's kind of a weak guy, actually he was being very wise in realizing he couldn't defeat the enemy on his own. He needed help. You see, for him, scoring a victory was much more important than getting the glory. And admittedly, these may be some of the most difficult words to utter, but they can also be some of the most powerful when you finally admit, I need help. Now, don't ever utter them to God. Don't ever utter them to anyone else if you just take the attitude of wanting people to go out and win all your battles for you, of expecting it. I mean, sadly, there's a lot of grown children who go to their parents that way, just expecting them to fight all their battles for them. But instead, you need to have the attitude, the sense that when you ask for help, you're asking for that little push, that little shove, the help, the direction you need to win. Though in some cases, it may be going and asking a person to join hands with you so that you overcome your problems together. Like saying, I'll help you, and you help me. Which is a foundational principle for many of the 12-step programs, you know, like Alcoholics Anonymous, other support groups, for dealing with things like grief, being a survivor of disaster, being a primary caregiver for an elderly person, of people recognizing we need each other to be able to do what we're called upon to do. As country singer Steve Forbert sings, takes a whole lot of help to be able to make it on your own. That's true. Sometimes the only way to get out of a problem is with a team effort to win a victory. But here it is. When you win the victory, it's a win. And with a win comes happiness. So be willing to let go of pride and whatever vain dreams you have of glory. Be willing to share the credit by asking for the help you need. And on the flip side, always live up to the responsibility of being there to help and support others in their situations. Contribute to their victories, to their happiness, as they do for you. So that's the question this morning. Is there something you need help with? There's no shame in going to a group like TOPS or Weight Watchers. You're trying to deal with a weight situation. There's no shame in going to a support group like Gamblers Anonymous, if that's your particular problem. There's no shame in asking a friend. If you don't feel comfortable in going to the doctor's office by yourself, you want somebody along to hear everything the doctor says to make sure you don't miss anything. There's no shame in that, asking for that kind of help. There's no shame in asking a friend to hold you accountable by simply asking, how are you doing on your diet? How are you doing? Have you stayed away from the bottle? How are you doing? Are you staying active? Which leads into what I call a third step to winning in life. Because beyond getting to the point of admitting enough is enough, beyond the point of being able to ask others for help, you're bound to win at life when you surround yourself with winners. Consciously, surround yourself with winners. That's why Barak latched on to Deborah. And maybe she was his wife too, but he recognized God's hand was on her. And so he wanted to make sure that she was on his team. Or better yet, that he was on her team. Either way, he wanted to be with a winner. You know, that raises a strange truth. As parents, we so often want to emphasize with our kids how important it is that they pick the right kids to associate with, that they're involved with the right crowd. But then when it comes to ourselves, we're not thinking the same way. Hopefully, You do, as an old proverb says, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. And it's true, we often become like the people we're around. Which means if you want to be financially sound, you don't go to someone who's always broke to ask for financial advice. You go and you ask advice of somebody who looks like they get their finances under control. And if you want to experience God's victory in life, you surround yourself with people who walk in victory. If you want to know God's power in your life, you get near those you know have God's power. And you become like them. And while as Christians, we all need to take the time to help and support others in their times of need. That's our responsibility as Christians. At the same time, we need to be careful about those people who latch on, who seek you out to just share all the crud in their lives. We've all known people who just want to sap you of all of your energy with their negativity. Now, don't walk away from such people. Run away from them and stay away from them. Don't let their negativity affect your thinking and your life. And that's a reason why people so often repeat their failures. Time and time again, because they have the bad habit of listening to the wrong people. So you want to get and stay on track to winning in life, you need to get and stay on track and imitate those who've demonstrated the capacity to win. Now that may lead some of you to ask, well, how do I know who that is? How do I recognize them? Well, they're the people who've gone through tough times, and everybody goes through tough times sometime in life. But they're the people who've done it and hung on to God. They're the people who, according to Proverbs 3:5, have trusted in the Lord with all their heart. They have not depended on their own understanding. They've sought God's will in everything that they've done, trusting that He would show them the path to take in life. Those are the winners. Those are the ones you want to be with. And that's why Paul, who certainly had his share of problems in life, said, come, imitate me as I imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. His way of saying, hey, if you want to experience victory in life, then do what I do. Follow my example. Take the same path I walk with Christ. All to say, if you're here this morning and you're wondering, how long, O Lord, will I continue to muddle in my situation? How long before things get better? Consider who you're standing with. Whose example are you following? Get with people you see God blessing and imitate them. Live as they do, following Christ, and you'll be a winner too. Think about it. Is there a Deborah in your life that you need to latch on? Ask God to open your eyes to who that person might be. Someone who experiences the blessings of God, who knows the power of God, who can be a positive role model for you to imitate, regardless of your age. You know, when Deborah and Barak led the Israelites into battle, they came to face with the enemy who had oppressed Israel for many years. They saw the 900 iron chariots. All of his soldiers, but this time it was different. Verse 14, Deborah said, Barak, get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you. After 20 years of having just kind of put God to the side in their lives, finally the Israelites were in a place where God was going before them. And that's the real secret to winning in life. To make sure you have put God in the right place in your life. Do that and He will always go before you onto the battlefield. To give you the win. To give you the victory. So the question is, what battles are you fighting this morning? Decide, enough is enough. Swallow your pride. Ask for help. And get with others who are winning and following Him. And He'll always be before you to give you the win, to give you the victory. Let's pray.